His main interest is in applying research methods to the implementation and improvement of public health programs and policy making. So, Dr. Sasser.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to thank my student, Franco Cherry, who was important in getting this research together. As others have said, I have no relationships to disclose. And with that, I have to go on and make my other disclosures. I feel as if I have wandered off my turf in this talk, in this session. I am a clinical epidemiologist. My interest is mainly in clinical outcomes, clinical research, that sort of thing. So I come at this from a somewhat different perspective from the two talks that we've just heard. I present this list, again, not to remind you of things you already know, but to make the point that our underlying theory in approaching all this was that these things are not the goal, but rather are necessary preconditions in which care will be delivered. And so our hope was to be able to figure out whether or not in an existing data source, whether we actually see this already, whether or not care is being provided in the way we would predict based on the model that we're trying to move toward. So it's an imperfect model based on what we have now, but we have big numbers, so at least we can try to draw some inference from it. I will also not dwell too much on what the benefits are. You probably know these already, but plainly, having a personal physician, seeing a physician regularly, seeing the same physician every visit is important, and these will come up again in what I'm going to present from my results. Having a medical home has obvious advantages, particularly for things like reducing disparities in populations where those are an issue. Also, fewer ED visits, fewer hospitalizations, lower costs. These will become apparent again why this is important in this particular issue. The thing that we chose to look at, and partly because this is a major interest of my own research, is orthopedic conditions. They're very common. You'll see in a minute from another slide how common. Relatively debilitating. Fairly costly to treat given the way we treat orthopedic conditions, typically much cheaper to prevent and relatively simple to screen for. This surprised even me when I saw this, the prevalence in the population. This is from the National Health Interview Survey of reported musculoskeletal problems. Nearly 50% of the population reports some musculoskeletal problem. That's far more than the next leading candidate, which is emotional issues, and certainly more than other things that I might have thought would have been at the top of the list. This is part of the reason for that. You can see that a number of conditions play into this. These are overlapping. They aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. People can have a variety of kinds of pains in a variety of joints. In fact, it's pretty unusual to find anybody who has only one kind of pain in only one joint. So all of this adds up to, again, a whole lot more problem and a whole lot more treatment than is typically required for some other conditions. They're also fairly limiting. There are major consequences for number of days lost to work, interference with activities of daily living. Musculoskeletal complaints are by far the largest contributor that people report in terms of what affects their ADLs. And then on to the cost, you can see an enormous number of days of work lost, a large number of hospital bed days contributed by this, large direct costs, large indirect costs, large incremental medical costs. That is what we spend over and above what we would have expected to spend had these conditions not existed. So what we did was we took the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, which is an annual thing that's been done since 1989, done by the National Center for Health Statistics. It's a weighted, systematic, random sample of all outpatient encounters in the United States. What they do is they go out and they get a random sample of physicians that are stratified in various respects, and they follow them for 1 week, and they ask them to report every visit, every encounter they have in that 1 week. But it is limited just to direct care specialties, so no things like pathology, radiology, and so forth. And it's only non-federal physicians. Important things that they're going to collect are what the physician-patient relationship is in terms of personal primary care physician, not primary care physician, new established patient in the practice, what the principal complaint or reason for the visit was with diagnosis codes as well. The chronicity of the problem is this new, hasn't been going on for a while, comorbidities, and then what services were ordered. The key one there to see is the third one, medications, which is a very key focus of this. So bear in mind that what we're looking at here is non-medication referrals. The ones we were interested in then were the ones that fell under health education, specifically exercise, injury prevention, and stress management. And then those that were in the sort of catch-all non-medication category, referrals to physical therapy and to an orthopedic specialist. We further limited our data to look just at those visits where there was an orthopedic-related diagnosis. So this is based on ICD-9 diagnosis code 710 to 739, for those who memorize that sort of thing at night when they can't sleep. That's anything, fractures, pain, arthritis, all sorts of joint problems. It covers a wide spectrum of things. Then to get into the really, really nerdy details. In fact, in 2008, there were 28,741 encounters that were recorded in the database, which weights up to about 955 million patient encounters total for the population. We then took just the primary care specialty encounters, which brings us down to 14,000, and subsetted that further based on a valid response to the question, are you the patient's primary care physician? It did not have to be yes, it just had to be answered as in a valid way, yes or no. So we ended up with 539 million theoretical encounters based on 13,500 actual records. So of those, the vast majority were established patients, and again, a majority, but a somewhat smaller majority, were answered yes to physician seen was the patient's primary care physician. So in group practices, we all have the experience, you can't see the one you want to see, you go to see whoever happens to be available. A relatively small number were orthopedic-related visits, and a similarly small number were injury-related visits. And that becomes important because one would expect different things to happen in situations that are acute versus situations that are chronic. Injuries are more likely to be acute situations. Population was about two-thirds female. The racial breakdown is generally reflective of the U.S. population. Hispanic number is perhaps a little low. And you can see the breakdown by insurance and by age. So it's a somewhat younger population, perhaps, than we would expect with other conditions. But that reflects, again, probably the injury component. Analysis was done using appropriate survey methods, and we made corrections for the fact that there were a whole lot of statistical comparisons made in our results. The next few slides show the results, and I'll orient you the way this works. Each of them refers to a specific kind of referral. We're comparing referrals that were made by primary care physicians with those who were made by another physician, and then splitting it out further by whether or not there was an orthopedic diagnosis in that particular encounter or not. So whenever there's a star, it means that primary care physicians were significantly more likely to refer to that service than were non-primary care physicians. So you can see that when there was an orthopedic diagnosis, it happened in almost every category. It was fairly similar in non-orthopedic diagnoses, probably because exercise is a fairly heterogeneous recommendation. Wouldn't just be for orthopedics, but there was no particular way to get at things that were specifically orthopedically related. Injury prevention is a bit more specific, and here, in fact, it looks like there's really not much difference between orthopedic diagnoses and not. And there are fewer categories in which primary care physicians were more likely to refer. Even fewer for stress management. Again, it's a somewhat non-specific category for orthopedics, but it does get at a fairly common recommendation for things like neck pain and back pain. Finally, the ones that are more provider-driven. With physical therapy, there was really very little difference. But as expected, it was more common in both cases with chronic conditions as opposed to acute conditions. And finally, referrals specifically to an orthopedist. This was the most limited of all, specifically only with orthopedic diagnoses and only when the visit was for a chronic condition. So, to sum all that up, it looks like primary care physicians are more likely than other physicians to refer patients to orthopedic-related services when those services are not provider-driven. That was exercise, stress management, that sort of thing. But the panic, the pattern is less clear when it seems like the service will trigger some sort of insurance or reimbursement issue. And that may reflect the fact that everybody has to play by the same rules when it comes to coming to sending somebody to someone to some other provider where there will be some insurance issue related to it. But primary care physicians are still significantly more likely to refer those with chronic orthopedic problems to see an orthopedist specifically. Our results did not vary by sex or payer. Those results were not shown. Referral rates, however, were low in all categories. It was less than 14%, where if you look at the numbers of people who have these conditions, you would have expected referrals to be somewhat more common, at least in some of the categories. Referrals were no more common with orthopedic diagnoses than without in general, with a few specific exceptions. And there appears to be some benefit to being an established patient, but again, not as much as we would have expected, particularly when the condition was chronic. The referral rate is higher, and so by inference is better with a deliberate physician-patient relationship. That's what we would hope. The referral rate is low in compared to what we would expect based on national data, but there are some limitations to the way these data should be interpreted. First, we can't include in this anything that talks about self-referrals to orthopedists. In some health plans, in some sorts of coverage, it is possible to self-refer into an orthopedist directly, not go to your primary care physician. That may also take a certain portion of the acute population out, because if you are that bad off, you're probably not going to go to your primary care doctor. You're going to go straight to the specialist. There is a preference overall for medication. Sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the room with orthopedics is that there's a major preference for NSAIDs, analgesics, all sorts of things to try to deal with the condition in a way that doesn't get at the underlying problem as directly. So what we were looking at here were specifically referrals to things that were non-medication related. And finally, a referral doesn't necessarily equate to follow-through. It's all very well to say that referrals were made at an appropriate rate, but we have no idea if those people actually followed through on the referrals they were given. And I will hold the questions until the end.